The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning. Isn't it finally amazing that winter is gone? It's beautiful out there. Is winter coming back? Do we have cold days coming? Does it seem like it's gone? Okay, I actually will put my official vote in. I'd like it to be warm now. So, God, if you're listening, Hey, we're excited you guys are here this morning. My name is John. I'm the pastor of Hope Hill Church, and we're excited that you're here. If you're visiting, I want to say a special welcome to you. I would love to get to know you better, and unfortunately, there's really not time on a Sunday morning to do that. So if you're visiting, or if you've been coming for a little while, and we've not yet had a chance to share a cup of coffee, or get together at Panera, or Starbucks, or your choice, I'll even come to your place of employment for a lunch get together or whatever if you have a lunch break. I want to meet you. I want to answer any questions you might have about our church and what we're doing and our vision and our direction. And more importantly, I want to get to know who you are and help you figure out if this is a place for you to get plugged into, if this is supposed to be your church family. If you don't know about our Hope for Nova vision, it really captures how we are doing church as a unique body. Now, we believe as the body of Christ that each and every one of us are called to be the hands and feet within the community. The building is not the church. You're going to hear me say that all the time. You and I together as followers of Jesus, we are the church, and we are called to do the things that Jesus called us to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And he was all about loving people. Jesus said the two greatest things you can do is, first of all, love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we learn from his teaching that our neighbor are even those people we can't stand. So don't just love the people that love you back. That's easy. Anybody can do that. But we're called to love everyone. And so our Hope for Nova campaign, if you don't have this book, we want you to have it. We want you to leave with it. We want you to be praying about it. There's a magnet we want you to put in your fridge or your car, so every time you see it, you'll think about it and pray about it. I was on a Facebook page recently, and somebody said they didn't know what Hope for Nova meant. They saw the magnet, but they're seeing them all around, and they were glad to hear that it was this when they put it together. And so anyway, we want you to get on board with Hope for Nova. That's what we're talking about today. Today is, how are we the church that God calls us to be? And it really is this vision. So we'll be talking about this today. We have felt that God impressed on our hearts to try and raise $70,000 on top of our monthly income this month. And several of you have responded to that call, and you have been giving us extra tithes, extra offerings to help us reach this goal. Over the next couple weeks, we're hoping to bring in a total of $70,000 in addition to our regular income. If you would consider doing that, we want to say thank you. I know it's tax return time. Some of you are paying taxes, but some of you are getting taxes back. Maybe God wants you to do something a little different this year. We're trying to raise that extra money to help us with this campaign. We're going to continue on with our study this week. This is part 2.5. If you were here last week, I talked way too long on the first 2 points and didn't get to finish our message for last week. So I'm doing part 2 this week. If you want part 1, just go to the podcast you can hear last week and pick right up. What we've been looking at over this past month is, what does it look like for us to grow as a Christian? Now, I want it to be very clear that what we have been doing is not how you become a Christian. A lot of us have grown up in a society where if you think that if I do enough good, I will somehow get God's attention and he will save me. That is a religious mindset, that if I do enough, if I pray enough, if I serve enough, if I give enough, maybe I'll earn God's favor. But that's not the way it works. Last week we started out this session with one of my favorite clips from Karate Kid. Remember, those of you that were here, we saw how Daniel-san was being trained by Mr. Miyagi, wax on, wax off, paint the fence, paint the house, sand the floor. Yes, you remember all of it. Those are principles that he had to learn in order for him to excel in the greater things. His muscle memory and all of that would build upon the lessons that would be learned as he grew in his steps as a martial artist. What we are unfolding for you through the series is, again, not steps to become a Christian, because there's nothing you or I can do to become a Christian. Jesus already did it. Here's what I mean by that. A lot of us, we think that in order to be become a Christian, we got to go to church enough, pray enough, read enough, memorize enough, and then maybe we'll make the goal at some point. Jesus said, it's not about what you do, it's about what I've already done. Jesus died on a cross, offering forgiveness to any who would receive it. And he said, if you simply confess that you're a sinner, I will forgive you of all your sins. I will wash you and make you clean as snow. And it's about what he did for us. And so as a person, I come to Jesus out of a response to what he's already done for me. Jesus, thank you so much for loving me, that you would sacrifice yourself in that way, that you would give of yourself to make it possible for me to be your child. Now, when a child's born, how many of you have given birth to a child? Hopefully no. Yes, yes. Okay, we've got a few moms in here. That's good. Okay, so you gave birth to a child. That's great. That child is born. There's a moment in your life spiritually where you may have come to realize that I need to be born again. Jesus said, in order to know the kingdom of heaven and know my Father, you have to be born again. It just kind of happens. It's a process that unfolds. The baby itself doesn't do anything to be born. It's a process that naturally unfolds. Jesus has made it possible for you and I to have new birth. But that child has to be cared for. He has to learn to eat. He has to learn to drink milk. He or she has to learn certain steps in life to grow and mature as a child. And the same way, spiritually, you and I, there are certain steps that are needed for us to mature in our growth with Christ and becoming like Him. Does that make sense? These things don't make us a Christian, but they make us like Christ. So if you are here today and you're trying to somehow earn God's favor, things are not going the way you hoped in your life, and you're thinking, if I go to church enough, if I maybe try and stop a little of this and do more of this, maybe God will bless me. That's not the way it works. But the way that, and the great news of the gospel, is that you don't have to do anything to earn God's love. He's ready to give it to anyone who would accept it. And he says today, I love you just as you are. Come to me just as you are, and I will make of you whatever it is that he's leading you to be. And so this series, again, what we need to realize is that there is much that God is calling us to do. And it's more than just sitting in rows. It's more than just saying a couple prayers and reading a couple inspirational readings a couple days a week. God is calling us to live a life in service of Him, following Him. And for you, that might be, man, it was so much just to get here and to sit in this uncomfortable metal chair. You mean there's more you want of me? There's so much more that Jesus wants of each of us. He wants us to be willing to give us our entire life and to experience what it means to follow Him and every day. And so our hope is, as a part of the people who are coming and gathering together in this place, you will discover the deeper, more full of love walk with Christ that He calls us each to. This really begins in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, at the end of Jesus' 33 years, such a short life. Now that I'm 43, I can't imagine being dead 10 years ago. But Jesus was alive for 33 years. The last 3 years of His life, He spent pouring into a group of followers. And He said at the end of that time, I'm gonna leave now. But I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to teach them everything I've taught you. I want you to love on them. Remember, love me and love people. I want you to make disciples of them. Teach them the things that I've taught you. Help them to discover the love that I've been pouring out into the world. And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always. And in Acts chapter 2, actually Acts chapter 1, he reminds them that even though I've taught you all of these things, there's more needed. It's not enough for you to know how to be a good Christian. In order to be the Christian I'm calling you to be, you need my power in you. And the only way you're going to have that power is if you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Jesus said you will receive power, and that word power is a big word. It's dunamis in the Greek. It means dynamite. That's some powerful stuff. I'd love to play with it someday. But it's power. It's not just, I'm going to wave a magic wand over you, Harry Potter style. It's the power of God present in our life, enabling us to do the things He's calling us to do. He says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You're going to go out into the world and you're going to do the things I've taught you. You're going to teach these things to others. You're going to share with the world my love. Remember, he said, they will know out there that you are my followers by your love for one another, not by how much of the Bible you've memorized. Okay? Although that is important. But it's how we love each other that the world will see who God has called us to be. You are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That was their local area. You're going to be my witnesses right where I've placed you, right where you're living. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses in Judea. That was almost like Nova, Northern Virginia, the surrounding area. And you're going to be my witnesses in Samaria. That was like the other side of the tracks, the area where they didn't commonly go. They were like known as half-breeds over there. But Jesus said, no, you're not only going to love those who love you back, you're going to love the ones that are hard to love as well. I'm taking you to love on your enemies, the Samaritans, and to the ends of the earth. God is calling us, not just back then in Acts chapter 1, to do these things. This is the mission and the plan for us today. It's not the goal of our five-year-old church has not been one day we will build a building and officially become a real grown-up church. That's not our goal. The church is never a building. The church is a people of God, called by God, empowered of God to do the work of God. And that's what God is building in those that are sitting here today and those that were at our early service and those that are yet to come. God has so much that He is calling us to do. And here is like our locker room. It's just where we get the game plan and then we go out and we execute. But we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Last week at the end of service, several of you came forward and just were praying a prayer. Michelle led us in a prayer, just praying for the Holy Spirit to empower our body to go out and be empowered like the disciples were in Acts chapter 2, to go out and to be the church He's called us to be. So, how often does this happen? Is it one time? No. Jesus said we need to learn to daily die to ourselves and daily be filled with His power and His presence. And sometimes that takes us doing something. It takes us submitting to Him. It takes us giving up bad habits. It takes us putting on good habits. Some of you go to the gym to work out. Some of us need to do that more. It starts with me. But spiritually, we need to be working out. And we need to learn how to wax on and wax off and sand the floor Christian style. And last week, we said the first two steps are Bible reading, God's Word, and prayer, being in communication with Him and for one another. And right there, I'm going to pause because Patricia came to me this morning and said, I need prayer. I discovered this week that I have stage 2 cervical cancer and I need prayer. So we're going to do that right now. We have a couple cancer survivors in the room. Will you come on over and let's just lay hands? Charlie, do you mind joining us? Is Colette in the room? No. Okay, that's all right. Well, anybody else that's feeling led right now to come over, let's just lift up Patricia right now. Father God, we lift up Patricia to you right now. God, we know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, the scriptures even call you the great physician. God, you know exactly what's going on in her body, and we pray for your healing to take place. We've seen those standing here right now, Charlie, we've seen Colette, even myself, freed from the cancer that's been in our body. God, you are above us all, and you have a plan, and we ask for complete healing right now. We ask that the power of your Holy Spirit just touch her body and to bring healing to her. God, lead her to the right doctors and specialists, give them the right wisdom and knowledge of what to do in her case. And God, we just ask as a body of loved ones, of friends, and as a church, we would be what she needs. Help us to love on her, to be lifting her up in prayer, but also just taking care of her with the physical day-to-day stuff. Thank you for leading her here to be a part of who we are, and help us to do our part in taking care of her. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Patricia. But this is what it's about. It's about reading God's word. And James said, don't just be readers of the word. Do what it says. Don't just say you're going to pray for people. Do it. You know, next time someone says, hey, can you pray for me? Just let's do it right now. Give it a try sometime. And then the second thing, prayer. And the third, the two we're going to touch on today is, what does it look like to be a part of a Christian community? And what's it look like to be a part of stewardship? And so we're going to look at, again, the basis of the church, which is outlined in Acts chapter 2. What did the first church do? Well, let's look at it real quick. And again, I probably read this passage almost once a month. But it's so important for us to remember and to put these things into practice. So let's look up here on the screen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So that touches on the first one. We now have the apostles' teaching in the Word of God. We have God's Word to study. We're called to study it. We're called to read it. We're called to get into it so that it can get into us. We are renewed and transformed by God's Word in our life. If you're not in God's Word, then you're not going to grow. You're not going to become the people He wants us to be. Allow God's Word to get into us. They devoted themselves to these teachings, the apostles' teachings, and to fellowship. Fellowship is the church word for friendship, for relationship, for getting to know each other, hanging out, for caring for one another, for breaking of bread. It's two things here. It's eating meals with one another, but it's also doing what we're going to do at the end of service today, remembering what Christ did. The Passover Supper, Jesus said, I'm about to die for you. When you eat of this bread going forward, remember what I did for you. Remember my body was broken for you. As you drink of this cup or dip your bread in this cup, remember the blood I shed for you. And every time you do this, remember me. And remember, let this be motivation to you in how to live going forward. They broke bread and they prayed. And they sold their possessions and their goods. And they gave to anyone who had need. I love the way that God has been building Hope Hill Church. Because this has been our heartbeat from the very first couple months of our beginning to dream of what our church would look like. We said, you know what? Again, it's not about a building. It's about taking care of the people around us. We were going to have this stupid Ashland community yard sale. You can tell I love yard sales, don't you? It was yard sale day. And somebody came up with the great idea. I think that somebody was my wife, but she'll kill me if she were in here and I wouldn't give her credit. No, that's not true. I strike that. Anyway, someone came up with the great idea. Why don't we just go and give this stuff away? And so a bunch of us that were in that room dreaming about what this church could be like said, yeah, we'll do it too. Forget the yard sale. Let's go. And so we went to a community that we knew was in need and we set everything up and we just said, hey, yard sale, but everything's free. So we called it free sale from then on. And from that point, we have done this every single year. Our next one is coming up May 21st and 22nd. We're doing it very different this year. Details are coming and they're being formed. What we do know is that we're going to two communities that we've been in often and we've been blessing them. One is where God has led us to buy our first Hope House, the Forest Park Trailer Home Community. Update there real quick. Is that we go to closing April 25th. Hello? It's amazing the way certain things have been happening for that house to become ours. Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, get this book. It's really cool what God is doing and how He's leading us to be a part of this community. We're going to be doing these free sales. And today, before you leave, we need you to go back, see those signs with the arrows pointing they look like they're pointing to Karen, because they're pointing. She's right in between. Look, go ahead and look at her. She's waving at you. We want you to stop by that table and to sign up. We're going to be in two locations. Exactly what we do at those two locations, the details are still being determined. But what we do know is we're giving stuff away for free to families in need. Several of you are here because you were at a free sale. Several years ago, there was this little Cuban refugee family that was living in a one-bedroom room and a home here in Woodbridge. And one of you invited them to our free sale because they had needs. And now they are a part of our staff. Daddy L shared the gospel at Christmas, and 32 people accepted Christ. These are people who, through these outreaches, have become a part of us and are now helping carry forth the mission. This is what it's about. It's about selling our possessions at times and our goods and giving to anyone that had need. Every day they continued to meet together. It wasn't just once in a while. It wasn't just, if I go to church once a month, that means I'm a good Christian. No, they did it often. And I'm not saying if you're only coming once a month, there's something wrong with you. I'm not saying that. But we have to commit to being in relationship with one another, meeting together regularly. A lot of this happens in our community groups. We're going to talk about that in a minute. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. At the end of our service, we're going to do something a little different, because we need to realize that that's what this is about. We're not just giving out handouts and making sure people have food. We are leading them to Jesus. And this is what it's about. It's been the mission from the beginning. Abraham in Genesis 12, Jesus said, I'm going to bless you so you have a great life. Is that what he said? No, God said to Abram, I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing and the nations of the world will be blessed through you. That's what he's saying to Hope Hill. He's going to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. All right, let's dive in. What does this look like? Number three, because one and two were last week. Number three is Christian community. There are 10 things I want to throw at you real quick that we want to see in you and through you. And here we go. Number one. We're going to fly through these because of time. We want you to make your group time, your community time, a priority. Whether that's coming and being a part of the gathering here to get pumped up for what you're doing out there, being the church 24/7 out there, but come to these gatherings. But we also want you not only sitting in rows, because it's hard to get to know each other in rows, isn't it? It's much easier in circles. So we want you to find a circle. In your handouts, there are community groups. Those are our circles. These are Bible studies that meet in different locations throughout the community in different people's homes. They share a meal together. They pray together. They read God's word together. They get real and open. Number two, they get authentic with each other. They share things like, you know, Pastor John shared that week. I don't know that I agree. It's okay to disagree. We get open with each other. Let's study the scriptures and see where that came from. Let's walk this journey together. Let's be authentic about who we are, where we are in our journey, and how we feel about things. Sometimes it also means getting real about our needs. There was a couple in our church who were about to miss their mortgage payment because they weren't able to make ends meet, but they didn't tell anyone. Somehow the word got out and a community group stepped up and gave them everything they needed. We got to get real and open with each other so we can take care of each other. Number three, encourage one another spiritual growth. I think, I'm not sure if we're supposed to say maturity or mutuality, but both make sense because mutuality is us doing this for each other. Iron sharpening iron, strengthening each other, being, spurring us on to deeper maturity spiritually. Again, we're supposed to be born again, but then we need to grow up in Christ. And through a community group is a great environment to grow deeper in your faith and to help others do the same. Number four. There are going to be differences. We need to respect those differences. Anybody here a brethren? Anybody here from a brethren background? There are weird little things like some brethren churches believe that your baptism really doesn't count unless you're dunked three times. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, we just need to make sure it really gets done. Okay, we only do it once here, but if you want to be dunked three times, we'll do it. Okay. there are some differences that are okay. So we're going to be courteous about those things. But 101 talked about some essentials that if you're going to be on the same page with us, if you're going to be a family member here, there are some core things we want to agree on. We want to agree on that Jesus is the way. And if for some reason you're not sure about that, you are still welcome here. You are still welcome to be a part. And you know what? There's even places for you to serve and help us to be on mission together, even if you haven't figured out those things yet. But there are some things we want us to eventually agree on if you're going to become one of our teachers, if you're going to become one of our leaders here. But there's still a place for all of us in this journey. We're going to be courteous to one another. We're going to be sympathetic to one another. As we know of each other's needs, we're going to meet those needs. We're going to accept each other's weakness. You know what? You're weak in some areas so that you have to depend on the body of Christ. I'm weak. I know a lot of you don't realize it, but administratively, I have big weaknesses. Does anybody here know that? Okay. I need you. I need you to help me in areas where I'm weak. You need me to help you in areas where you're weak. We need to be real about those weaknesses. But we also, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to discover where we're strong, where God has gifted us to do some special things. And so some of you need to be put in places where you're serving from your strengths, not your weaknesses. Mike Conley will tell you that he's very weak in some areas, and so he's no longer serving in those areas. But we found an area where he's very strong, and he's serving well and effectively there. Okay? All right, number six, we're going to accept our weaknesses. We said that. Speak the truth in love. You know, there was a family last year, after being with us for a long time, my heart was broke because they left us. There came a couple subjects that they wanted to talk about, and they wanted to know where Hope Hill Church stood with these subjects. And I said, I love you, but I have to be true to what God's Word says. And this is what I see God's Word saying about these particular areas. I believe we can journey together. I believe that we can still be a part of the same family together and seek God and His understanding of these things. But they said, you know what? That's just too much for us. We think we need to move on. I had to be honest. Although it hurt to see them go, I had to be honest to what the truth is. And Jesus said, I am the truth. There's no other way but me. And we have to be honest about the truth. We have to also be willing to forgive. You know what? Where there are people, there's going to be conflict. Where there are people, there's going to be hurt feelings. And if we're going to be the kind of church God wants us to be, it's okay to have conflict. There's no perfect church out there. Every church is filled with people, therefore it's imperfect. And so we have to be willing to be merciful, to forgive, to work towards peace with one another. There are often times before communion, I'll say, if there's something you need to get right before taking communion, do it today. If that means you need to cross the room to go over and say, you know what, I'm sorry that we've not figured this out. Can we get together later? I love you. I want things to be right between us. Can we work this out? And then go take communion. Let's make it important to be okay with each other, to be unified, to be on mission, to be forgiving. Number nine, it's going to be important, especially in our circles, our small groups, to keep confidences with each other. You might have a family that shares something they don't want, they're not ready for other people to know, or other people shouldn't know. And we're going to commit to keeping those things private, to praying with and helping. If someone says, you know, I really have a problem with so-and-so, it's not your job to go and tell so-and-so to make it right, but to lift them up, to encourage, to give them counsel. And we're going to do that. We're going to be confident with each other, and we're going to lift each other up and work through things together. And then 10, understanding our purposes so that we can be unified in those things and supporting. And right now, the big purpose that we're on is this mission, the Hope for Nova vision. Get this book if you don't have it, and let's get on board with each other. Community, being a part of it, finding your place in it, and getting plugged in and involved so that through us working together, God can accomplish amazing things. The fourth thing, as I quickly bring us to a close, the fourth thing is stewardship. And it's a lot about what I've already been saying. It's about investing in one another. It's about investing our time, our talent, and our treasure. Jesus taught about it often. Jesus was actually criticizing the Pharisees because the Pharisees said, you know, we tithe 10% of all our goods. We pray, we go to the temple, we do all these different rituals. And Jesus said, you should be doing those things, but you should also be loving on people. And so God, there are certain things, and tithing is one of them, that God says you should be doing that, as well as loving me and loving others. A tithe, what is a tithe? It's giving 10% of what we have back to God. For those of you, well, if you're in Financial Peace University, you're probably in the class right now because it's going on right now. But simply put, in Financial Peace University, the way it's put is that if you got 10 bucks, take $1 and give it to God. Take $1 and put it in savings for your use later and live on the 8. Okay, it's just being wise stewards of what God has given us financially. Giving of our time, our talents, and our treasure. God has gifted some of you in different ways with abilities, and you need to be using them to benefit the body, to benefit the kingdom of God in our community. Some of you are going to be great gardeners at our community garden that's going to start at our Hope House. Some of you are great interior decorators and are going to help us make that house be exactly what it needs to be for the community we're going to be reaching. Some of you are going to be great at fill in the blank. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be helping you discover what some of your gifts might be. And our job as a church is to equip you to do those things. And so you give of your time, your talents, and your treasure. God has blessed you and me so that we can be a blessing to each other and to the nations of this world. This is what it means to be a part of the Hope Hill family. And our hope is that God is drawing many of you to be a part of what God's doing here through this church. This is my waterproof book. Why is it waterproof? Because some of my best thoughts come while I'm in the shower. And I'm not joking. This hangs on the handle in my shower, and I open it and I start writing stuff down. Okay? We'll just leave that there. In this book, there are 42 names. These 42 names are people, and I'm not going to call you out, but there are 42 people who have indicated in just the last couple months that they either want to accept Jesus as their Savior, or that they want to grow deeper in their faith, or they want to become an official member of this church. And I get excited when I get these emails. You know that little card I told you to hold on to? Pull it out. Go ahead, pull it out. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Ushers, get the cards, and I want everybody to have one. On this card, when they're filled out, they get turned in. I get an email each week saying, so-and-so decided to give their heart to Jesus this week. So-and-so decided they want to be baptized. So-and-so decided they want to serve in children's ministry. I get to see those things and celebrate. But you know what? You don't get to see that information. And on Easter, I talked about how we're celebrating the risen Savior. But in heaven, did you know that every time there's lightning and thunder, there's a party in heaven? Did you know that? So my mom told me, so it must be true. The truth is, though, in heaven there are parties. And what we were told by Jesus is the reason there's a party is every time there's a lost coin found, a lost sheep found, a lost son come home, there is a party in heaven. And that's what this is about. So many of the people we're reaching out to, they're coming to know Jesus. They're coming and joining our movement. They're coming and they're reproducing themselves in others. And we want you to celebrate that more. And so I'm sorry for being not bringing it to your attention more often, but I'm telling you that some of you are here today and you've made these decisions and we've not celebrated it like we should have. And so I want you to look at that card right now. And if you have over the last couple months made this kind of decision, either accepted Christ as your Savior or decided, I want to be a member of this movement, of this church, of this family, or have decided, I want to grow in my Christian walk deeper, I want you to do something right now. I want you to stand up right where you're at. If you checked any of those boxes, because I want our church to see that many of you are growing and making these decisions, stand up. If you decided, I want to grow in my faith, if I want to be a member of this church, if I want to, any of those things on the, stand up if you've made one of those decisions. Let's hear it for these people. No, stand up, stand up, stand up. Now I want you to come and stand behind me. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, I won't stand up next time. Thanks a lot. I'm not doing this to embarrass you. I'm doing this because we need to realize what God is doing, What God is doing is He is building His church, as He is preparing us for the mission He's carrying us on. God has great things in store for each of us. Now, the first hour, I had only four people up with here with me, so I was able to go person by person and say, why are you here? Aren't you glad you're in the second service? We don't have time to do that. But I want you again to celebrate the decisions that are being made. Let's do that. Let's hear it. And some of you, today need to be making a decision. Maybe it's to be born anew. Maybe it's to invite Jesus in. You're not sure you got it all figured out, but you know you need Jesus in your life. Check that box now. Some of you, you need to join this church family. You've maybe been attending, or you're just wondering, you're searching. Well, the search is over. God has brought you to a good place. He wants you to get plugged in, and you need to check that box. Some of you, you've been here, but you don't know what you're doing here. You need to start exploring and just start moving. In order, many times, for a big ship to turn, it has to start moving first before it can change directions. Get on a team and start serving somewhere. Maybe it's a setup team. Maybe it's a baby holding team. You need to get on a team. We need you. There's so much going on here. We can't do it without you. Get on a team. And maybe you're just in need of prayer. And this morning, before you go to communion, I want you to go to one of our prayer teams. I want you to say, you share what you feel like sharing. Ask those prayer team members to pray with you. We take prayer seriously. We want to lift you up. I'm going to pray for all of us right now. Our worship team is going to lead us. Go and take communion. So it's a way that we remember what Jesus did for us. But before you do that, search your heart. Check the right box in this card. Bring the card to me today. I want to know why you're checking the card. I want to lift you up and just pray with you and encourage you quickly, and then go take communion. That last card, the pledge card, think about that. Pray about that. How is God wanting to use you financially to get behind the mission of this church? God, move among us right now. Help us to truly search our hearts. Help us to see what you're leading us towards. God, we stand before you and say, here we are, send us. Move among us now, Lord Jesus, we pray. In your name, amen.